Harper Audio presents Marvel Comics, The Untold Story by Sean Howe, read by Stephen Hoy. In the beginning, Marvel created the bullpen and the style, and the bullpen was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the artists, and the spirit of Marvel moved upon the face of the writers. And Marvel said, "Let there be the Fantastic Four," and there was the Fantastic Four. And Marvel saw the Fantastic Four, and it was good. Stan Lee. Ideas can never be traced to any one source. They are tossed back and forth between people until the decision makers step in and choose what they think is a success formula. Jack Kirby. Prologue. In 1961, Stanley Martin Lieber was pushing 40, watching the comic book industry in which he'd toiled for over two decades fade away. Recently forced to fire his staff of artists, he sat alone in the comics division of publisher Martin Goodman's perfunctorily named Magazine Management Company, where he'd been hired as a teenager at $8 a week. He'd once wanted to be a novelist, but he never managed to get around to it, and it seemed unlikely that he'd be able to work big ideas into the monster, romance, and Western comics that were still dribbling out from the vestiges of the company. Tucked away in a quiet corner, the highlights of Lieber's days were writing corny jokes for toss-off humor books like Blushing Blurbs, A Ribald Reader for the Bon Vivant, and Golfers Anonymous. Not wanting to use his real name, he signed them Stan Lee. Fate intervened, or so the story went, in the form of a golf game between Martin Goodman and Jack Liebowitz, the head of rival publisher DC Comics. Liebowitz reportedly told Goodman that DC had thrown together some of its most popular characters, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, into a single supergroup title, the Justice League of America, and found itself with a surprise hit. Goodman marched into the office with a mandate for Lee, steal this idea and create a team of superheroes. But Lee had been through attempted superhero revivals before. He went home to his wife, Joni, and announced that he was finally going to quit. She talked him out of it. "Just do it the way you want to," she insisted. "Work your ideas into the comic book. What are they going to do, fire you?" It took a few days of jotting down a million notes, Lee would remember years later, crossing them out and jotting down a million more until I finally came up with four characters that I thought would work well together as a team. I wrote an outline containing the basic description of the new characters and the somewhat offbeat storyline and gave it to my most trusted and dependable artist, the incredibly talented Jack Kirby. That was how Stan Lee recalled the genesis of the Fantastic Four, and how he related it over and over again through the following decades in his inimitably jaunty manner. Jack Kirby, who'd launched to stardom in the 1940s when he'd co-created the iconic Captain America for Goodman, would later tell it differently. "Marvel was on its ass, literally, and when I came around, they were practically hauling out the furniture," Kirby said. "They were beginning to move, and Stan Lee was sitting there crying. I told them to hold everything, and I pledged that I would give them the kind of books that would up their sales and keep them in business." This much is certain. In the middle of 1961, Lee and Kirby threw together 25 pages of story and art, attached a crude logo, and thousands of copies of Fantastic Four No. 1 were shipped off to take their places on newsstand tables and spinner racks across the country, wedged between the latest issues of Millie the Model and Kid Colt Outlaw. The Fantastic Four wasn't quite the Justice League ripoff that Goodman had ordered. In the first issue, the protagonists didn't even wear costumes. Stranger still, they were constantly bickering. Never before had a comic book team been shaded with such distinct personalities. In a nearly revolutionary flourish, The Thing was even conceived as a heavy, not really a good guy, who might go rogue at any moment, a far cry from the upstanding citizenship of Superman and Green Lantern. But copies sold, quickly, and fan letters poured into the magazine management offices. The book had sparked something, a fervor unfamiliar to Lee. Lee and another of the Monster Comics regulars, artist Steve Ditko, soon introduced Spider-Man, who behind his mask was just Peter Parker, an angsty teenage nerd who sometimes struggled to make good choices. A moody, outcast kid as a superhero? It had never been done, but Spider-Man 2 struck a chord with readers.